we can do with the Oscar thing today, because it's been so thoroughly sussed and calculated, and you know, particularly there's this guy who has a book that I've known him for a few years, Ben Zausner, M-E-R, Zausmer.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't even find the name of the stupid book, but he's a stats man, and he's a much more intensive and very sharply focused, and he has the same shit that everybody else is saying. So I mean, you know, he's saying,
yeah,
you know, just down the line, there's no question that 1917 is, gonna win. There's no, I mean,
I mean, even though there's people that there's a subset of people that do believe that Parasite is going to win.
Oh, come on! There's no basis for that. There really isn't. I know that there's a lot of genuine passion and feeling, particularly amongst the people in, if you will, our social media world. But that's not representative of the Academy, as far as I can discern.
Well, they could push for Bong to get a Best Director win.
That would be cool. That, I would think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Mendes and... I don't think 1917 is a towering achievement to that degree that it gets Director and Best Picture. To split it, okay. That's a little better, I think.
And Mendes has already won Best Director in 2000 from American Beauty, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, right.
So I mean, this would be a good chance to give it to you know, an outsider.
Mm-hmm. Who was really about the most saluted and champagne toasted insider right now, at least as far as the Oscar campaign world is concerned.
Coolest kid in the block right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So with Bong, I mean, he already has that HBO deal inked for a Parasite miniseries or TV series.
Yeah, it's going to be a six-parter that Adam McKay is going to do.
Yeah.
And my question to him, which wasn't answered, was: are you guys going to? Is it, from what you understand, the idea is, I presume, six episodes, you're going to obviously expand the story and you know, let it you know, take a while to take shape, but do you think you're going to, you know, play with any of the particulars, or are you going to tell more or less beat for beat the same story? And I'd like to know what they're thinking. Could be more interesting if they came up with some new stuff, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he said he wanted to expand upon the movie.
Mm-hmm.
In ways, he already had ideas to expand the movie, and this HBO deal just came to his front door, and it was the perfect opportunity to do so.
Right.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. But I mean, for picture and director, for picture it's sealed. For director, we're kind of hoping for Bong. And now for best actor, I guess it's Joaquin Phoenix's to lose, especially with Joaquin Phoenix doing all these political speeches the last few award shows. He's only gotten extra points because of that.
Yeah, he's a devoted vegan, and he's saying that cattle is creating. Is one of the main contributors to climate change, global warming. He's completely correct, and we have to ask ourselves, well, okay, well, how much do I really agree with Joaquin? How many times do I order a steak or buy steak and barbecue it at my home? The answer is once or twice a year, maybe.
Yeah, me too.
Now, if I'm at a free dinner, you know, and they're paying for it, and it's a nice steak, great. But I'm not going to, you know, make steak a part of my regular diet. Most people I know don't. You know, it's the middle of the country that likes that kind of, you know, flavor high when you bite into a really well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, but Americans love burgers, and having a burger is as problematic, I guess, to Joaquin as steak would be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but, if you get past get into burgers, I guess. How many times do I do that? I don't know. Maybe once every couple of months. I certainly don't. You know, eat them a lot.
Yeah,
do you?
Me too.
Huh?
I had my first burger yesterday in a few months.
Yeah.
I don't go mm-hmm. the fast food route. I try to either make it or get a burger from
a good place. Yeah.
A trustworthy restaurant.
Right. Right.
You know. But it's also Joaquin Phoenix is to lose. Who would be the closest behind him to snatch that trophy away? I guess Adam Driver, but
it's not a chance. Why even talk about it? He's been locked in for forever, and there's nobody who's even threatening. I know that we were supposed to talk about these things as possible horse races, but they're not. They're not horse races.
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's all locked in. I mean, the only thing that there's a chance of an upset, as we just mentioned, is Bong Joon-ho wins director. That would be like, all right, you know. By the way, watching for the first time. I'm going to, usually what I do is do the commentary, which I will again. But I always do it from home. And then if there's a thing to go to afterwards, which is always a waste of time because in Los Angeles, the only parties you want to go to are where all the cool winners are, and that's the Vanity Fair party, or the Governor's Ball party, and you know, individual films will sometimes throw parties for themselves, or I should say distributors will throw parties. Now, they're throwing a Parasite viewing and after party at Soho House, which is a very nice location. Have you been here to, you know, show, you know, it's on the top floor, and it's very luxurious and overlooking Los Angeles. So, for the first time, we're going to go to a viewing party, and I'm going to do the blow by blow commentary from up there as long as I can find a plug somewhere.
Yeah. You weren't invited to the Vanity Fair party, right?
I've been trying to cover. I have been covering ever since the early 90s, Entertainment Weekly, New York Daily News, LA Times Syndicate. I've never busted through the Vanity Fair thing. I never even tried. Sharon Waxman and some others got into it. New York Times, they let them in. I remember George Rush of the New York Daily News, the columnist, because he knew the Vanity Fair people socially, but they don't want people like you or me. They want, you know, they want Brad Pitt and people like that. And that's who goes to these things. So, no, it's no big deal.
Of course. Yeah, no, not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I guess we can wrap it up. I mean, actress is going to be a shoo-in for Zellweger, and the supporting actor is. I mean, if Brad Pitt doesn't win, you know,
forget it. He's been locked in for months. Zellweger's been locked in for months. You know what? She went up to the, you know, she's like a jazz musician, like all of us when we're asked to say something about something that's happened, and she's you know, obviously putting out some variations on her standard stump speech, and it was Tatiana's opinion texting me as I was there at the Spirit Awards yesterday that she's got to up her game. That speech that she gave yesterday was like, you know, you got to do something other than that, because it's like, you know, it's you know, she's lost the energy or something, or such a fait accompli in her mind, she's not able to generate any serious excitement.
But she's already won.
Yeah.
And the comeback story was really nice at the beginning, but now it's kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
But people are going to have voted for her anyway, and that's that. So it's really very dispiriting. You know, yesterday that was the cool thing, the Farewell winning the best feature from the Spirit Awards. Now that everybody was like, okay, something has happened here. You know. And I was delighted by that, you know.
Yeah, at least a very bittersweet win for the Farewell, because, I mean, as you know, it didn't win any Oscar Best Picture nomination, which is a real shame, because I think it deserved to be there instead of women.
I completely agree with that. Completely.
Yeah, and that would have been actually the inclusive, you know, the woke inclusive movie that actually deserved to be.
Well, the difference, of course, is that Little Women had the campaign by columnists, by various producers in town. It was like, if you're going to stand up for women getting proper, appropriate recognition during award season, you've got to stand up for Little Women, as well as go see it, as well as get your, you know, reluctant boyfriends and husbands to see it, and make it into a real hit, which they did. It's 100 million plus, so.
Yeah, which is strange, though, because I wasn't reading any op-eds from the New York Times or the Washington Post about how The Farewell deserved the Best Picture nomination,
mm-hmm.
Even though it did. I think it did. It's it just missed my top 10 of the year, but I mean, it's of all the buzzworthy movies that were eligible, that was up there,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't get nominated. A real shame.
Yep.
The campaign, I guess, from A24 just wasn't that strong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the other thing is, by the way, when the Softies were taking questions after having won for, well, they won for editing, they won for, I believe,
Director,
that was it. And and so I was raising my hand, I was saying, Fyodor Dostoevsky and Carol Rice are listening from heaven. Do you guys have anything to say to them? What was your, you know? And I thought that's a good opportunity. They could say, you know, we understood you, and we hope you understand what we're doing. It's the same thing. So this is just our take. It's our way of coming at it. Obviously, you guys did a great thing in your respective realms. In your time, but you know, this is ours, and that would be fine. That would be fine. I didn't like it. I will never watch that fucking movie again. But I understand it's their thing, you know. I mean, I've talked to some people yesterday, in the press tents. A couple of Brits, a couple of women. Nobody loves that film. Nobody. I mean, if you're a softy nut, you know, and you get they're velocity junkies. And they just, that's it. That's their whole thing. They don't have an aesthetic. They don't have anything to actually say. They're basically, look at us. Look at how fast and excited and frenzied our films are. And feel the velocity. Feel the urgency. Feel the bang, 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 bang. That's us. That's it. That's what we're doing. Either you love it or you don't.
Yeah. You know. I love that style. I love that style, I have to say. But I'm glad that you at least you agree with me that Adam Sandler deserved more recognition than he got.
That was the highest moment of yesterday's thing, his acceptance speech, and I'm really glad that he won because I think he deserved it. So.
Yeah, you see, he can really really turn it up a notch and deliver a great performance if he tries or if he wants to. You know, it's happened maybe 3 or 4 times in his career where he just nailed it.
Yep.
Dramatically, and he just showed his chops, his talents. But on a final note, supporting actress is obviously Laura Dern's to lose. But I've been hearing Kathy Bates is really well loved. Her performance is well loved, and there's plenty of Clint Eastwood aficionados out there and in the industry and. They would love for Kathy Bates to win again, but obviously it's Laura Dern to lose. But if an upset does occur in that category, I would think it could be maybe Kathy Bates.
Incidentally, you think the Obamas are a documentary American Factory? That's going to win too, right? Because everybody wants to kiss Michelle and Barack's ass by giving it. So international feature, obviously Bong Joon-ho. I was asking an exhibitor, a very sharp exhibitor guy, who's I won't name him, but he was basically saying he would love it if it won both Best Picture and Best International Feature. I said, you would? Why would you love that? I mean, do you think it's, you know, I would rather see Les Miserables win if it's going to be, you know, Parasite winning Best Picture. And speaking of which, standing 3 feet away, and I went over to say hello, was Lajli, who was staying there with his French translator pal. And I was saying, "Hey, good to see you, man. How are you?" You know, and we were looking at him, and it's really great to see you. And you know how I feel about your film and so on. And I said, "So if it weren't for Parasite, you guys would win and should win the best international feature thing." And they were laughing about that. They said, "Yeah, Parasite is a parasite to us."
Yeah. Quite a majority of the best foreign films this year, the last year.
Yeah.
That was definitely a movie that I'm looking forward to seeing again. I haven't seen it since Cannes, and where I said it played almost like a French Training Day, but with a little more social political stuff.
Yeah,
a very, very entertaining movie, and I think he has a good future ahead of him. Maybe he could easily cross into American movies with that style that he has.
Yeah, sure, he could, but his English is non-existent.
Yeah.
He has to at least he has to at least speak it as well as, say, you know, like Tatiana or something. You know, he's got to be able to at least get sentences out. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle. I can't see anything happening surprising on editing. That's going to be Ford versus Ferrari, right?
Yeah.
I can't see anything visual effects. That seems like that's been a fait accompli as far as Avengers Endgame, right?
Yeah. Give that franchise some kind of award. And that would be it.
And then costume design, they always go to something that's period, that's ornate, that's different than our... So that means either the 1940s
Little
of
Women.
Jojo Rabbit or Little Women. Probably Little Women, I imagine. You know.
Yeah. Well, there's a Little Women hive scattered all around the voting body.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it could even win the adapted screenplay award, even though it doesn't really deserve that adapted screenplay award.
If I had my druthers, if I could just dictate it, I would give it to what's her name, Ruth, the one who did Dolomite's costumes.
Sure. Yeah.
She was great.
Ruth Carter.
Yeah, Ruth Carter. And I said, these are good costumes, and these are this really gets that whole, you know, Superfly early 70s blaxploitation thing. It really, really works. So good for her.
Oh, yeah, the costumes are so great that there was even an exhibition on them, and it was this really colorful and fun exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you attended it. There was one at TIFF. It was really great.
Yeah.
And, I'm curious if maybe the tightest race is Little Women in adapted screenplay, because it failed to win the WGA, if I remember correctly, we'll see. But this is surely one of the most boring Oscar telecasts to come.
Easily.
No host.
Yeah.
Predictable races.
And I really have no... I got to say, I don't have a lot of respect for some of the Gold Jet Derbies saying, wow, this is a really tough one to call. There's never been so many cliffhangers. My God, man. You know, stop it. I won't say it. I want to be combative with somebody.
Really, yeah. So basically, there is someone out there who believes there are plenty of cliffhangers.
Yeah.
On the line here for tonight's ceremony.
They keep pushing the narrative about Parasite. It's not in the cards. I mean, it would be surprising, and it'll make the party that I'm at even more exciting, because everybody always goes to the winner's party, so that's cool. But you know, and if it happens, it happens. Okay, fine. You know, it's a good film.
Well,
I don't hate it. I just don't think it's good enough. But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Parasite's momentum hasn't really deflated since it premiered at Cannes. It seems like it gets boosted every week, and but maybe the time has run out for it to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
Maybe if we were going to have the Oscars in March, who knows? But I would be shocked if Parasite wins Best Picture. I really would, even though it is the next film after 1917 with the best odds to win the best picture. Sadly, The Irishman is not up there, but we've already spoken about that.
Yeah.
Just a lot of factors just going against this movie.
Yeah.
Time will be very kind to Scorsese's movie.
Yeah. So, by the way, a friend wrote this to me this morning about Parasite. He said that, I was watching it, I was thinking, where have I seen this thing, this kind of film before? Class struggle and tension and, suspense and that sort of thing. And his first thought was Kurosawa's kidnapping film, High and Low, 1960.
Sure, I've seen it, sure, yeah.
And then he thought, no, that was too much of a noir. This is, Parasite isn't really a noir. He said, then it hit me, Louis Buñuel. He says, here are the Buñuel homages, references from Parasite. Viridiana. To me, this is the most obvious one. The mother figure, like Viridiana, is described as simple and also gullible. The most visually telling scene is when the rich family goes camping in Parasite, leaving the servant family to, make a mess of things and feast on the food and get drunk. This is shown in Viridiana when the peasants take over the household of the dead uncle and begin to defile it with the infamous Last Supper scene. I hadn't thought of that, actually. He also mentioned Exterminated Angel.
I hadn't thought of that either. Anyway, continue.
Well, no, he also mentioned Exterminating Angel, the husband in the basement scene in Parasite seems a strange plot device, but in Buñuel's film, it's the bourgeoisie and the upper class folks who can't find their way out of the house and soon begin to resort to their basest natures. It's kind of on that level. Diary of a Chambermaid also, the Jean Moreau is a lower class maid taking a job with a family, manipulating her way up the social ladder, if you will. And the last one, Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, which would be, it's like, just as Buñuel couldn't help himself with the subversive atheistic jabs at the church, Bong Joon-ho can't help himself either but to revel in gory, bloody confrontations in the final scene. And his last line is, by the way, but I will agree to the one sloppy bit of plot construction, which is letting the maid back in the house because she knocks. And I said, it's an easy fix. And I said, my fix, and I've mentioned this to you before, is that she had an extra key. She just didn't return it. She meant to when she was fired, but she, it slipped her mind. And she came back for some things that were in the cellar, and nobody answered, so she decided to let herself in. That's it. No problem.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Parasite 3 times, and you can't help but admire the way Bong constructs and times one scene after another in such an expertly choreographed way. But when the maid rings the doorbell, the first time I saw it, I was like, "Don't let her in! Come on!"
Yeah.
Like, really? You're going to let her in?
If you were sober and maybe you guys could hide in a bedroom, all right, but you're not and you're sloppy, good heavens. Show minimal brains in this situation. Nope, can't do it. Got to be stupid. Got to let her in.
Yeah, and you've already made a mess of the house. Like, do you really want her to see it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very misguided plot twist, but you need that plot twist to further advance the story.
Right.
Parasite is the kind of movie that is really, really cool to like for people that are not totally cultured to foreign cinema.
Mm.
Because it's incredibly accessible and it is very entertaining. So, this could easily pop the cherry of many millennials that just aren't into foreign movies as much as we are.
Right.
Almodovar released an incredible movie this year, and I think it's as deserving, if not more so, than Parasite.
I was beaten up by Tatiana the other day. Why didn't you rave about Pain and Glory in Cannes? I said, well, what I did was give it it's good, come see, come saw, liked it, didn't do cartwheels, but I was, definitely, it's a good film. And she says, what's wrong with you? You know, why don't you just see what it is? I mean, you know, because I saw it a second time with her. And I said, well, wow, this is much better than I realized when I saw it in Cannes. It's festival fatigue. You know, you kind of get kind of shagged and fagged and you don't have any... Something happens. You don't seem to be able to respond. You kind of zoned out in a way by all the, you know, the lack of sleep and three films a day, that kind of thing.
But yeah, I had the same reaction as you. I mean, I saw it a second time, and I loved it the second time. First time was underwhelming. I admired it, but it was an underwhelming experience.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you liking it the second time is what motivated me to watch it again at TIFF, and I absolutely loved it. It's tough. At film festivals, you get very tired, especially with when you don't have enough sleep, and you just go screening after screening, and you know the movies at Cannes are slow. And not in the bad sense of the term, really. They're just like slow burn cinema, and going into movie after movie like that can take its toll, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So here we are. We're coming to the end. What are you going to do? Are you going to do a blow by blow, or how do you do it? Are you just going to do a summary?
I think I'll do a blow by blow on the site and on Twitter as well. Maybe. It's going to be a pretty easy going night. Anyway, I'm not. My expectations are pretty low. So if the ceremony turns out to be entertaining, then that's definitely a plus and something I did not see coming.
The best part of last year's Oscar show, when you think back to it, which is actually a pretty decent show. Was the We Will Rock You beginning with Queen. That was good.
That was great. That was great. And I mean, last year there was just so much hate on the ceremony. Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody. People were just wrapped up in hatred, and instead of just letting it play out, just accepting the winners. But
now, as I recall, when the Green Book guys came and picked up their Oscar, didn't Spike Lee make a point of standing and facing the back of the room or something, or did he leave? He did something like that.
And I love Spike Lee, but that was a real douchebag move. I actually forgot about that. He did turn his back to the stage in protest because, yet again, he lost the Best Picture prize to a
driving Miss Daisy like film,
black and white movie, black versus white movie. But I still think Green Book is a much better movie than Driving Miss Daisy, though.
Much.
I never really liked Driving Miss Daisy all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I would love to see these kind of fireworks again this year at the ceremony, but there is no Spike Lee this time.
I imagine the only fireworks, if you will, or passion, will be in the impromptu. Sentiments, the political sentiments, surely on behalf of women in the industry, we'll hear one or two, that's going to be a thing, and I think that I'm looking forward to people, letting rip and everything, but I hope that, the wokesters are going to have to eat this next year, but after Trump gets reelected, largely because average people are horrified and sick of the Khmer Rouge mentality on the part of these people, the constant guilt tripping, the shaming, the trashing, the punishing, the canceling, all that shit. People despise it. They despise it, and it's like these are what I know. Bernie's not a loyalist, but he's certainly. I mean, he's gonna win. He's gonna win. Bernie's gonna win the nomination. Let's be honest. What's gonna happen?
Yeah, but if if and when, because I do agree with you, Bernie gets the nomination, that'll be the end of the Democratic Party.
That's it.
Basically.
That's
they're going to have,
yeah.
After 2020, they're going to have to completely rebuild from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I had mentioned it to someone last week.
Yeah.
Canada has four different parties. In India, they have 2,000 different political parties. In the States, it's really just two major parties. Maybe it's time for Bernie to take his movement and build a new party. I mean, it's healthy to have more than two parties. This is part of the reason why America is so polarized right now, because you have either the right or the left. You don't have anything in between. You don't have anything on the outside. That leads to division. And I think the Bernie movement is probably going to create a third party.
Well, that's, in other words, split what there is of the liberal progressive community, and that means that the right wins every time, because it's going to be
you're going to have far left, and then you're going to have basically centrists.
These morons insist that we don't want to just defeat Donald Trump. We must have a revolution in terms of our governmental values. The whole thing has to be switched over. Those fucking idiots. They are not going to go for that.
Because, you know, if Bernie faces off against Donald Trump, there's going to be a lot of people on the left that are going to not vote for Bernie because he scares them.
Yeah.
And he scares them in the kind of change that he could bring to the country, the negative change for them.
Yeah.
And they would have no choice but to either not vote or vote for Trump.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting to see if, and you can already see the Democratic Party kind of trying to distance itself away from Bernie and to, you know, call him out. I mean, did you see that Chris Matthews rant?
No, I saw a glimpse of it. I saw a tweet or two about it. What did he say or what happened?
He was basically implying that Bernie represents everything that, as a child of the 50s, Chris, that he feared in the 50s. I mean, Chris Matthews said, we feared people like Bernie Sanders in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if Castro and Russia would have won the Cold War, then there would be executions in Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And he says maybe Bernie would have attended them. You know?
The anger that people on the progressive left and the Bernie bros feel about the rancid, ugly, horrific people in the Trump realm, I completely understand, sympathize, and 100% agree with their judgments about these horrible people. But people, they don't seem to understand that they're loathed and despised just as much as Trump is. And that's the thing that they're blind to. They just don't seem to get it. They don't want to get it.
Yeah.
They can't get it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Well, if there's anything that unites the Bernie faction with, let's say, the Biden Buttigieg faction, it would be, hatred for Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is one topic that the Democratic Party can unite on.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just see total civil war right now.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's very bad.
And it's horrible what's going to happen. It's horrible to say. I mean, the country has been blown up, just, you know, divided, and the rancid values of the Republicans, fearful of that beast in the White House, voting him to acquit, and they could have gotten rid of him and still had, you know, a party of some honor, and they didn't. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
We'll see. We'll see what happens in New Hampshire. I think the vote is this week, right?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't think what's going to happen. Maybe Bernie will notch it out by a point or two or something. Probably.
I don't know. Buttigieg is hot right now. He's really hot.
I know. He caught on, and he climbed up very close. If he takes it, you know, I don't know what to say, but I know that you know and I know that African Americans are going to will sit on their hands rather than vote for Pete because they believe he's not going to support them, and there's no talking to them. They just won't hear it, and I don't know how to get through, but there isn't any way to get through. So I guess, you know, one way or another, this the Democrats lose in November. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, and the gay factor also, which...
Oh, yeah, the homophobia thing, of course.
I
yeah.
Say,
yeah.
I mean, the homophobia is very much present.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Right.